Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday morning MB Pro call. Today is October 17th, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which, of course, you can do by going to motorvitality.com and listening to years and years and years worth of them, or going to Apple Podcast or Google Podcast or whatever podcast application you use, and subscribe to Motor Vitality, and you can listen to them there as well. We've been actually much better about getting them uploaded quicker, so that's kind of cool. Hopefully that continues, and we're able to get those up there for you guys. But definitely appreciate the feedback and the participation, and love having everybody on live too. So like to start the call off, I do the way I do every week, which is by asking, was there anything anybody learned this last week that you wish you had known before? Anything that happened that's worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country, or anything we can help with? Any questions anybody has?
Kelly, I have a quick thing. Actually two of them. I'm out at Pacific Water Quality Association over in California this week, and which, of course, I always love coming here. One of the things that they talked about, we had Steve, who's the current president of the Water Quality Association, give a really nice presentation. But something that he had brought up is that coming up in the next, it sounds like the next couple of weeks, they're talking about completely banning water softeners in Malibu. And there's a couple of different cities that are talking about completely banning water softeners. And so there were a lot of people in the room who had not heard that. And yet they're still over here, you know, it's pretty much in their backyard. Most of them it doesn't affect. However, it was just kind of interesting. Somebody made a comment. They said, well, you know, it looks like I should really start paying more attention to the legislative side of things. And that's really true. It's really important that you keep involved in your areas, go to your town meetings, things like that, because you never know when somebody's going to get a harebrained idea that we shouldn't be using water softeners. And, you know, for whatever reason that they think, it's really important that we have somebody there that's able to stand up for the industry.
Can I talk about that
Sure,
just because I think that is a really critical point. And for those of you on the call, some of you are just in sales, not just in sales. That's like the you know, blood and heart of our industry, but are in sales and not necessarily in a leadership position in your organization yet. But it's really important at all levels. So when I was in sales way back when, I used to go to my local village council meetings. Now, this was just a tiny little village council. We had three wells that we pulled from, but it was incredible how often water came up and how often people, even at that tiny little local level, passed. You know, somebody would have an idea. I remember probably the biggest that I was involved with was when they were going to add polyphosphates to the water to keep it, because there were several mobile homes and mobile home parks and areas in the country, and they were getting tons of staining on the surface areas. And so to beautify the village and also these mobile home parks and stuff like that had it, they wanted to add these polyphosphates so that you didn't have the staining, you know, to control the rust stains on the surface areas. And the question came up. I happened to be in the audience. I was not there participating in this particular, it was not too long after that they started inviting me to come in and speak on these issues. But they had no idea the impact that would have on water softeners, you know, namely that it was, that would prevent, that polyphosphates would prevent a water softener in many cases from taking out iron. So if people had made these investments and so I was able to contribute that information and pretty soon, you know, in knowing what was happening, it just made me sound more professional and more credible in the home when I was speaking to people. I've since found that to be the case all over the country, that there are it's incredible how often those things come up and how often people who make the rules don't really understand the science or the practical impact of making these decisions on a community. So I think absolutely it's critical that you get involved at all levels, both local and larger. Another example of that is, you know, I remember when the Colorado Water Quality Association disbanded, the very year they disbanded was the year that the state came in and required licensing, required you to have a plumber's license in order to install these things. And fortunately, right at the last moment, the national WQA was able to come in and get the ear of the people that you know, needed to hear it, and we were able to get an either or. So now you can either be a certified installer or have, you know, we are licensing, especially because of the MEP program through WQA was able to, you know, to just kind of act as a substitute to that licensing requirement. But without voices, without people in the industry, the people that are impacted, being aware of what's happening locally, you could just wake up one day and find that it's impacted your entire business model, the way you do things. And by that time, if it's already signed into law, it becomes much, much more difficult to change and to have an impact on. So, Jim, thank you for bringing that up. I think, you know, California is one that it's amazing to me that people are in California in the industry and aren't aware of those things. And I'm glad that more people are becoming more aware of it now, but it's not just California, it's all over the country that becomes an issue. So excellent point. What was your second one?
My second one was, I know that we talk a lot about CRMs and Salesforce being one of them. This morning, like literally half an hour ago, I was scrolling through my emails and there's a Groupon that came up for Salesforce. And it's a training, because I know Salesforce has changed quite a bit. And, you know, they're continually doing changes. But it looks like they have a course for $31, which is, you know, retailed at $795. But if you use Salesforce, then that might be something you might be interested in jumping on. Again, it ends tomorrow. It said that it ends on the 18th, the sale does. But $31, and it's an online course that you can go through, and I don't know exactly what it does or what it's, but if anything, you know, just to maybe point out a new tips that they've started up or anything like that. So
yeah, maybe even if you're using a different CRM, it could help give you some ideas. Yeah, so good.
Right. So that was it.
Cool. Thank you. Anybody else have anything? So the topic today that I wanted to kind of discuss, I called it long-term relationships. And, you know, some of you who have been on this call for a long time know that, you know, we often talk about the right now business and the tomorrow business, kind of in the difference in the two, right? The right now business, this is often house leads. It's leads that, you know, things that you can do even to create business that's immediate, that's right now. Okay, that is those are the, you know, when you're taking a look at that, you're especially the house leads. Those are the leads that are coming in right now, you know, that we're going to sell. The long term business or the tomorrow business are the things that you're doing today that may not generate revenue or results until 6 or 8 months or a year from now or longer. I mean, I had them longer. I remember the very first year I was in sales, going out to this guy that this house, they had just bought a little cabinet model softener in this house. And I went out and tested their water, and it was totally soft and doing everything it was supposed to do. And I said, I'd love to, you know, sell you a new one. We can put one in that's a lot more efficient and better. But this one right now is working. You don't have to replace this one right now. it was only a couple years ago, I mean, at least 15 years later, that I got a call. I still have the same cell phone number as I had back then. And they called me, and the guy said, I don't know if you remember me, but you came out to my house and told me that, you know, it was still working, and that impressed us. And I swore to you that when it was time to buy a new software, I was going to call you. And I was thinking, gee, many Pete's, man, that's, well, you're like 14 years too late. but it was actually, that's not what I said. Because I was so honored. You know, what an incredible compliment. That's a little further in the future than we hope to have for most of us. You know, we hope to build those, but doing those things does have an impact. It does, you know, it does have an impact. And so, you know, building those long-term relationships. So I kind of wanted to just start, I have some ideas, and I some of you have heard me talk about this stuff before, but I wanted to focus on that a little bit because, you know, I know that it's important to get those sales right now. That's what's feeding the family today. But it's also really critically important to not forget about the relationships that we can build for the future, you know, to have those things come through for the future. So I wanted to just sort of ask you guys, what are you doing right now to build your long-term relationships? And then I want to talk about this for a couple minutes, and then I want to talk about how to turn those customers that you already have, how to maintain and keep those long-term relationships as well. But let's first kind of talk about what are you doing right now that is building, you know, that is working to build those relationships or those referral relationships or even those customer relationships in the future so that they continue to stream in even when times are slow for the right now business.
It's Stacy. Firmly believe in follow-up appointments after the install. Even though it's someone I sold,
yep.
You know, so, odds are not, but there could be a referral. When they get that friend that says, I need a softener or whatever, they're going to say, hey, call my person. She really took care of me. You know, I had a lady did a follow-up yesterday, and she's like, actually, I didn't realize you were coming back for a follow-up because I called. She's like, you know, but it's really nice to know that it's working perfectly. And normally I tell them, and it was a well with really bad iron, and everything's clear. And she's like, it's just nice to know that it is working.
Yeah.
And they remember.
How long after the sale are you doing the follow-up?
I like to do them about 2 weeks.
Okay. So let me ask you this. How long after that follow-up until your next contact with that customer? And not you, not the service. See, this is where a lot of times people say, well, we as a company, we call them and remind them to change their filters every 6 months or a year. I'm not talking about them. Let them do their thing. Okay, that's awesome that the company does that. I think that's great. I'm talking about you. How often after that follow-up are you talking to that customer or contacting that customer again after that in-person follow-up?
Not good at that, I'll be honest. Now, if they send me a referral, I do normally try to call them personally and thank them, and I always send a thank you note.
Mm-hmm.
But that's if I get a referral.
So anybody else doing that?
I'm good about it.
Sure. So I'm sorry to put you on the spot on that. I hope that
okay.
they're like, wow, you're not. I can't believe you, Stacy. What a horrible, horrible person you are.
Admit, I'm a wimp.
What's that? I didn't do that. I just no. Of course, I don't think that, Stacy. I think you're amazing. But is anybody else doing that? Is anybody else, because this falls right into that long-term relationship that I wanted to talk about today, the long-term relationship. Anybody else in contact regularly with their customers long-term? When I was in sales, was I believed very strongly that it was really important to be in contact with my customers at least once every 6 months. Now, when I first went out in sales and I didn't have that many customers at first, you know, the first year I only had about 100 customers in total, and for the year, and I was I'd gone to this seminar where they said, don't send out Christmas cards, send out like Thanksgiving cards or Halloween cards or something like that. So I sent out Thanksgiving cards in November, and I hand wrote them all and I signed them, and they were just, you know, by the time you get to like 70, it's sloppy. You look like you're a doctor. You know, that's why eventually I scanned my signature and just printed them out in blue ink when I did that stuff. But scanned the signature out. But it was, I sent those things out. At the end of the year, I had a couple customers that I just really loved that were just, they were so cool for that year. And I sent them a little, you're my customer of the year thing. Personally, I kind of did that stuff for myself. You know, I sent them little cards and everything. Admittedly, after, you know, when you start getting 100, 200, 300, 400, I mean, by the time I left sales, I had over 1,000 customers, you know, and that's, that you can't, it's really impossible to send out 1,000 Thanksgiving cards. Not impossible, but it sort of takes the personal out of it when you do that. And so I stopped doing that, but I feel really strongly that it was important to be in touch with my customers at least once every 6 months after that sale. Okay. So I would do what you're doing, Stacey. I would do the follow-up within 2 weeks. I agree with you. And we're going to do a call. We've done them in the past, but we're going to do another one coming up on what we should be doing on those follow-ups, what that should look like, and you know, what we should be covering on those follow-ups. So we'll go into the follow-ups in more detail in the coming weeks. But I would do the follow-up, in-person follow-up within 2 weeks, and then I would put them in my CRM. And back then I was using ACT, and I would have it alert me to where in the next at least six months, I would either give them a call and say, hey, this is Kelly. I just want to let you know, you know, I'm still thinking about you. I mean, they're definitely impressed by that in-person follow-up when you come back out right after the sale. They're really blown away when you reach out to them 6 months later, because at that point, they don't expect it. You're a salesperson. They don't expect to hear from you ever again. And so when you, even just leaving a message on their voicemail, you know, which frankly I kind of tried to do, because I started doing those 6 month checkup calls in the evenings when I'd catch them, but then everybody wants to talk. And even if every conversation is a 5 minute conversation, you end up getting through three calls and that's it. So I started making them during the day when I would be more likely to get a voicemail, you know, when I could, you know, just leave a message and just let them know that I'm still around, that I'm still, you know, if they have any. And it was incredible how often I got referrals after that. I'd get people that would call back that said, oh, man, it's so weird you called. I was just thinking about you. I was looking for your card or whatever. And you would get these referrals off of it. That became, I believe, in the success of that and the importance of continuing to stay in touch with my customers long term, that I ended up kind of making an arrangement with the guy that I gave him a list every week, and he called them. He was a customer of mine that was disabled and he couldn't really do anything, but he I put him on this list, and he called these customers. And he would call and say, his name was Bryce. He'd call and say, you know, this is Bryce. Kelly asked me to give you a call just to check if you need anything, you know, please. And he would give me a list every couple weeks of people that, you know, that said the same thing, that I needed to call and follow up with or get out there and check up on or whatever. But I just really think it's important that you stay in touch with your customers long term. Otherwise, I mean, is there anybody here who bought a car like 2 or 3 years ago or a big ticket item where you still remember the salesperson's name? Is that salesperson still there where you bought whatever it was from? Anybody that did that?
You, tell Mary that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. What did you say?
I was going to say, my guy, whenever he moves to a different dealership, he always calls me and tells me.
Oh, yeah. Perfect. Okay. And does that matter to you, Stacy?
Well, it makes it easier when I decide to go look for a car, even though last time he apparently forgot to tell me he moved back to the dealership here in town. Because I stopped by there, and some sales guy's like talking to me, and I said, well, I said my old guy was here, and I said, who? And he's like, oh, he's here. And I'm like, what? I'm thinking the guy's giving me this line of BS. So I called my car guy, and I said, what dealership are you at these days? And he's like, I'm back at Dellen. I said, oh, I'm out in the parking lot. And he's like, I'll be right out. But, yeah, I have him on my cell phone. I know where he's at. He always normally lets me know. And I have bought two vehicles from him.
All right, so wait a minute. This is really important, what you're saying there. You actually have a salesperson, and a car salesperson at that. You have them programmed into your cell phone and have gone out of your way to go to the dealership that he works at.
Yeah.
That's why. What has he – so he reaches out to you, he lets you know, he remembers who you are?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, how can we apply that to what we do? I mean, that goes hand in hand exactly. That's the long – would you consider that a long-term relationship?
Well, I bought the first vehicle in 2008.
Yeah, so I think that's pretty important. I think the lesson that you take from that's pretty important. They, you know, so following up is huge. I mean, most people, when you think about it, the rest of you on this call, as you're thinking about it, you know, what salesperson, what have you bought? Think about the salesperson and think about whether or not, I mean, maybe you might go back to the same place that you bought that from. But would you go out of your way to look up, do you remember the person's phone number or name? You know, what have they done to keep you long term? You know, Stacey, I love that story and that example. That's awesome because it shows the point, you know, that, I mean, that's a huge thing. You know, what are we doing to emulate exactly that same thing? So I was going to talk about the long term relationships with our existing customers, but I do want to talk a little bit about what we can do to build those long-term relationships with referrals too. And so people who are not necessarily already our customers, although the two things do go hand in hand, but I, you know, I want to take the last 5 minutes or so here and kind of discuss what do we do to build a long-term relationship with those referral opportunities. Somebody have something to add?
Kelly, I do real quick first off, if you're contacting people, don't tell them, like, when you're changing companies, like, don't change companies, especially the MV pros that we have.
thank you. Yes, the people that are currently working with their existing customer or companies, stay in the industry, though. If there's a choice between changing companies and, stay in the industry if you can. But stay where you are. You're happy with the people that are good for you.
Yeah, and I don't know if this is kind of where you're leading to, but I can tell you I don't remember the name of the guy that, and I talk about this all the time, the guy that sold us our windows. I remember the guy that we didn't buy our windows from because he did all the right things. The big difference was the price difference. And, I mean, the price of the windows that the guy that we liked was, it was just way out of our budget. However, he still did follow up. He still sent emails. He still sent, like, a handwritten note, you know, thank you again for allowing me to come into your home. If you know of anybody else that's interested, please allow me the opportunity to speak with them. And I referred him to three people that built brand new houses, and they bought all their windows from him. And so, I mean, that's just kind of the guy that I bought my windows from. Couldn't tell you his name, and I can tell you he was probably one of the worst salespeople I ever met in my life, but we bought from him because of the price.
Yeah, you don't have to be very skilled to sell on price. I mean, it really, and there, you know, there's so many salespeople out there, even your competitors that are doing that. And if you don't know who they are, then you might want to take a look in the mirror and see if it's you. But it's, you know, anybody can lower the price and sell on price. And sometimes price is a determining factor, exactly what you're saying, Jen. But those are short-term things. Those are that's short-term satisfaction. And those are the people that jump from sales job to sales job to sales job. You know, if a true sales professional knows how to build those relationships and earn those referrals. And this guy, you know, just because it wasn't in your budget at the time, Jen, now you're making me feel guilty for not paying you all those years. If only I had been more generous and you could have had the windows you wanted from the guy you wanted to buy from. That's a long-term relationship thing, but what about when you're out there canvassing, you know, and you're out there, you know, you don't have customers. Okay. What can we do? What are we doing that? And I love that we're talking about how to maintain our existing customers and how to get the referrals there, but what can we do to build those future referral opportunities or that future business? And Jen, kind of what you're talking about there, you know, that what that guy was doing, where he continued to follow up and you still remember him and stuff like that. That's part of it. If you don't make a sale, don't abandon the customer. Don't just leave them hanging, you know, continue to follow up with them. And if you truly are about, you know, if you see sales being more than more about giving than taking, then, you know, this guy probably, while being disappointed that you didn't buy from him at the point, was probably empathetic and understood your position, you know, didn't try and drop his price, didn't make you feel like crap for making a decision that you had to make because of, you know, your life circumstances, and then reap the benefits from it, you know. So definitely working with those existing, you know, even those customers that you don't sell, following up with them, staying in touch with them, you know, their circumstances may change or they may give referrals like you did. Okay. But what about, you know, what are some other types of relationships that you can build long term, and how do we do that to earn those referrals?
B&I.
Good. B&I. So tell me a little bit about what your thoughts are on that. B&I. That, I think that's an excellent one, but expand on that a little bit.
Yeah, business networking. This is Tony, by the way. I was introduced to B&I actually, probably Kelly, I think it was you back in the day when I was traveling with one of my other dealers, promoting B&I groups, which is Business Networking International. Now, it doesn't have to be their particular entity, but it's a networking group that only allows one person from each profession in the group. And you go to these meetings usually weekly and you work on your 60-second presentation or elevator speech. And every once in a while, you're doing a 10-minute. But it's a group of professional individuals that you get to see every week, and you get to hear testimonials about customers they've helped or referrals that they've received. And people like to do business with people that they know, like, and trust. And when you're going to these meetings weekly and you hear the same stories over and over again about, hey, my customer of the month was this, or this is the kind of referral that I'm looking for, you get to know a little bit more about all the other people in your networking group, and your role is to help them find business that they wouldn't normally get. So you're sharing center of influences, or you're sharing your contact spheres with other people. And, you know, we're only seven people away from knowing everybody, you know, we're in the United States or world or whatever it is. But if you're using those
Kevin Bacon. And then you're only five people.
Yeah, that. So anyway, it's just a great networking opportunity where I've been in B&I groups where, you know, I was in one group, and for whatever reason, I've either switched jobs and that category was taken, or ended up being in another group, and I still do business from the first group that I was dealing with from years and years and years ago. So you build really, really strong relationships with folks that you can refer, and likewise, they'll refer you. And I've been doing that for probably 15 plus years now.
Yeah, very good.
Nice.
Very good. You know, that one, and we're almost out of time, but you could expand that into, I mean, I think about the relationships I have with the, you know, from having been part of the Optimist Club or pick any other community service group, Kiwanis or JC's or Rotary or those similar type things. The difference between a B&I where it's actually there for the purpose of lead referrals and exchanges. The other groups are community service. You can't go in there trying to, you know, to get leads, to be there solely to build business relationships. You gotta give back to the community and sort of, you know, help a little bit.
Get involved with your local chamber. I mean, I belonged to the chamber for 18 months before I got any business out of them, and now I get tons of business from them now.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, last 60 seconds here. Final thoughts on this?
I think the most important thing about building long-term relationships, it's very much like a marriage or even dating or something, is that, you know, you have to make sure that you nurture it and you take care of it, and you have to always be there also. And, you know, keep in touch all the time. You can't build long-term relationships if you're popping in only once every 6 months, as far as if you're working with, you know, a realtor or a hair salon or appliance doctor. So just continue to nurture those relationships, that I think is the most important.
Show your interest. Show you're interested, and continue to show you're interested. And, you know, down the road, even after you got what you want, continue to show that you're interested in continuing on that relationship. So, all right, everybody, thanks very much. We're out of time. I will talk to you next week, if not before. Everybody be safe and have a great weekend. So
take care.
Thanks.